G-26, Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. Some 5 minutes after leaving the cornfield and a full 3 minutes after insisting that Emma stay out of the basement while he did the nastiest part of an all-around nasty job, Clark called for her to come down.
"He's in, but I want you to see what's down here," he said. "It looks like pretty much nothing except for the freezer, but I knew him too well to buy that."
Emma hurried down, having impatiently but respectfully waited at the top of the stairs for what felt like forever. Had she known Clark would take more than a minute, she would have begun searching the rest of the house for anything they didn't want to leave lying around, and most specifically for Phil's home security console. Glancing around the basement with only a sudden consideration that the security system might be controlled from down there, Emma was quickly disappointed to see how little there truly was. She slowly worked her way around the walls, looking for anything more than nothing, and before long she found an almost invisible access slot at chest height to the left side of the wall opposite the walk-in freezer.
"Key card," she said. "You got his wallet, right?"
"Just about the only thing I did find," Clark said. "It was in the little bathroom cupboard above the sink, which is where my old man keeps his. There was nothing in his pockets, not even his phone, which he clearly had in his hand 15 minutes before I first got here. We could call it, but that might not be the smartest thing right now."
"Nope,"
Emma said, taking hold of the plain leather wallet Clark handed to her, having been holding onto it in his pocket. She quickly rifled through a pile of what looked to be around 7 or 8 cards. Clark stood over her shoulder, watching on and hoping that just one of them would be anything but a standard credit or store card. Emma glanced back at him.
"But then it's not exactly going to say secret entrance, is it?"
Clark shrugged, tilting his head towards the slot in invitation for her to give it a try.
"Nothing to lose," she said.
If this was a movie, trying the wrong card would lock the door and bring poison gas shooting out of the walls, he thought.
Like all of his recent "if this was a movie" thoughts, Clark neither knew where this one came from nor considered it remotely plausible. With no far-fetched warnings to stop her, Emma wasted no time in trying every single one of the cards. She waited a few seconds between each attempt, but it didn't take long until there were none left. Whatever kind of locking mechanism was in place, and whatever it might have revealed when deactivated, nothing happened.
"Well, he's hardly going to keep the magic card in his wallet with all the others, is he?"
Clark shrugged again. He wasn't trying to be in any way argumentative or disagreeable, but the words did come across that way.
"Mr. Bird or your dad might know something about this once we mention it," Emma said. "I mean, it might not be Dort Lutepe or New Birchwood, but if this is Phil's prepper stash in some secret underground basement extension, then there's going to be stuff worth finding, don't you think?"
"All the way," Clark agreed. "I can't see how it's going to be anything related to the messin'."
"I didn't think it would," Emma interrupted. "But he's been hardcore into this stuff for years, and we all know what kind of money he's been making since the leak. Just think of those Greater X-3000s. He casually dropped 30 grand on those things, and hey, one of them turned out to come in pretty damn handy for Dan on New Kerguelen, so maybe we can't totally rule out finding something useful in the context of all this."
It was something to bear in mind, for sure, but both knew they had more pressing matters to attend to, such as accessing the security console and finding out what had happened. They walked back to the main level of the house and split up, with Emma giving Clark some ideas of the kinds of things he was looking for. Some kind of tablet device was most likely, she said, and quite possibly built into a surface like the one Phil had installed inside New Care Grillin. Neither found anything in the first rooms they checked, but before too long, Emma called to announce that she'd found a non-embedded tablet control interface between the mattress and base of the bed in Phil's guest bedroom.
"A good spot," she said, presenting the tablet to Clark.
"Clearly good enough, if anyone else has been looking for it," he said. "How did you know to look there?"
"I didn't, but he doesn't have a lot of furniture, so there weren't a whole lot of other places in there. I did figure it wouldn't be in the kitchen or his own bedroom, just because those are more obvious."
Nodding along with the logic, Clark encouraged her to fire it up. The device's request for a 6-digit code posed no problems.
501-223 did the trick, as expected and as ever, and within a few seconds, Emma was navigating between feeds from no less than 12 cameras. The software was excellent, predictably so, since they both knew Phil didn't mess around when it came to things like this, and it had detected a high alert event as indicated by a flashing red exclamation mark icon in the corner of the screen.
"Where is the footage stored?" Clark asked. "Is there a memory card in there? That wouldn't last for long before it filled up, right? Is there going to be a hard drive around here somewhere, hooked up to a local Wi-Fi network or something? I don't really know this stuff. We're not going to have to access each of the cameras, are we? Some of them are tough to get to, especially in the dark."
"Think of this as being just a screen," Emma said, not directly answering any of Clark's several questions, but explaining it to him in the quickest way she could. "It wasn't even switched on. There is a hard drive for a system like this, or more likely a whole array of them, but that's 99% definitely going to be on the other side of the card slot downstairs. Anyway, let's watch it."
And watch they did, as the security software relayed the entirety of the events that culminated in Phil's death. The best and clearest views were automatically chosen at every key moment, although always overridable in real time by any manual selection the viewer desired, and this enabled them to see every aspect of what had happened. The flagged incident did not begin with an alien flash, which quickly ruled out any messenger involvement and suitably sunk Clark's hope, inconsequential as it may have been, that Phil had died in an accident. Instead, the footage began with the approach of a dark-colored car with no license plate. A lone figure stepped out, but when the camera automatically zoomed in on his face, it showed a full white mask obscuring every inch of skin and all but a tiny hole for each eye.
"Fuck!"
Clark yelled, unthinkingly lashing out at a nearby vase and quickly apologizing, to Emma out loud and to Phil in his mind. She gulped and kept watching. Very shortly thereafter, however, Emma McCarthy could watch no more. Once the intruder forced his way inside, the picture changed to a dual-screen presentation with Phil on one side, hiding in the dark while texting Clark and Mr. Bird for backup, and the invader on the other. The man held a firearm as he swept the house, clearly seeking Phil. He didn't look closely in each room, perhaps initially taking the darkness as a sign that no one was home. He gathered a laptop computer from the kitchen and proceeded to look in drawers and cupboards within the kitchen in a manner that suggested he didn't want to leave too many signs that he'd been there.
"Can we skip to when there's more movement?" Clark asked.
Emma, more familiar with the software than Clark, thanks to some experience with a much older version, but still far from an expert, skipped ahead to the next change of camera. She kept doing so until the man entered the hallway several minutes later. She looked around and glanced up at the camera which had captured the footage, feeling even more uneasy as the man reached the point on the floor where she was now standing. Back on the screen, the decisive moment was imminent. Once he saw the man pass the doorway to the room where he was hiding and going explicitly against Clark's instruction to hang tight, Phil then attempted to sneak out from his hiding spot to tackle and detain the man from behind before it was too late. In the deathly silence of the night, he failed as soon as he began. The intruder heard Phil's movement and spun around instantly, aiming his firearm at his forehead.
"Punk-ass mask, bitch!"
Phil spat at him. He didn't plead, and in fact did the opposite of fall to his knees to beg for mercy. Instead, Phil defiantly stood up and faced the man down.
"The only way to win is to turn that thing on yourself, asshole. You fucked yourself the second you showed up here. There's no way out."
The man dropped the laptop to the floor from its previous position under his left arm, while taking care to keep his weapon trained on Phil. He then put his left hand in his pocket and produced what looked more like a dart gun than anything else.
"Look," Clark said to Emma.
The simplicity of this instruction was enough to defeat her hesitation.
"Wait, is that a trank?"
"Phil is 100% dead,"
Clark said, leading with this so as to avoid raising any false hopes in her heart.
"But that does look like a tranquilizer dart."
No more than 2 seconds later, the man fired an expertly aimed dart into Phil's neck.
The undeserving victim slumped to the ground almost instantly.
That was some dose, Clark lamented. He didn't for a second think Phil might have been in a deep sleep after all, though, having checked for every possible sign of life over a period of far too many minutes to have missed them all. If any modicum of doubtful hope or hopeful doubt may have remained present in either Clark's mind or Emma's, it was destroyed just a moment later, as the intruder rushed into Phil's bedroom and returned with a pillow.
That's enough, Emma said, reaching for the console. Clark held it at arm's length, positioning his body in the way.
I'm not asking you to watch it, but I'm seeing this through, he said, all new levels of fury building within him at the man's callous action. Knowing she wouldn't get through, Emma walked into the kitchen and sat at the table, head in hands. Back in the hallway, both where he was watching the footage and where it had been filmed, Clark felt blood thumping in his neck. It was positively pulsing at the speed of rage as he locked eyes on the man responsible for Phil's murder. And that was what it was. A murder, not an accident. With Phil having been tranquilized and not having seen the intruder's face when confronting him, there had been no need, in any sense, for the man to have killed him. Worse still, the man had a gun and chose to use a pillow. To do it up close and personal like that, and by choice, no less, spoke to Clark of a true sickness in the culprit's soul. The masked coward would pay in ways he could never imagine, Clark vowed, ways that made his worst nightmares look like flowery daydreams. After more than long enough to be sure Phil was dead, the man eventually dragged him outside and into the cornfield. From there, he returned to get the laptop and shamelessly picked up some valuable ornaments from the hallway table for good measure. Clark glanced at this table, from which he had just knocked the last remaining vase, and shook his head. Before leaving, the man looked directly up at the just visible camera above the main doorway and raised a middle finger. Suffocation, Clark said, spitting out the word in burning rage. Of all the fucking ways.
A phone's ringtone then punctured the air, causing Emma's hand to shoot towards her pocket in a Pavlovian response, even though the sound wasn't close enough for that to make sense.
It's mine, Clark said, feeling the vibration against his right thigh and walking towards her. Emma breathed relatively easily upon hearing this, knowing that Henry or Mr. Bird would have called her if it was about Piper.
The baby was in good hands, but this brief moment of concern still sharpened Emma's desire to get home relatively quickly. Who is it? She asked.
Get down and stay down, Clark whispered, gesturing to a hiding spot under the table. He spoke with a newfound urgency in his voice as he rolled up his sleeves and glanced out of the window. It's an unknown number.